scratch about. So easy. You gotta put it in
perspective. Can you read the line?
You are the special.
What am I saying?
All you have to say is, you are the special.
I got a lot of loose pages here that don't belong to me.
It's just, you are the special.
All right, you got to write all that down because I'm not going to remember any of it, but here we go.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
B.I.G.
I'm having an album release party Thursday. Actually, on Saturday, February the 20th, at Satellite. Actually, on February 22nd at the Troubadour.
Recognize!
Oh, he shut you down! What are you gonna do, cry?
That's just silliness. That is not worth responding to.
And now...
Wow, it's kind of emotional in here. You guys keep this up, eventually you'll all get your periods on the same day, which is kind of cool.
Our feature presentation.
Raining party bus. Slippery, just let it go.
No! No, where's the monkey?
Just let it go.
Well. She's just stuck in something. There's a lot of things to be stuck in.
Oh my God, it's raining! What do I do? It's raining, I don't know how to drive in this kind of weather. What do I do?
Well, I do know you don't put your windshield wipers on, right, Dave? We know that.
We know that. And don't you tell people to go faster because you get out of the rain quicker?
You say don't you tell people as if it's our thing. It's science, Lisa.
Okay.
It's a fact. Are you on the road less minutes if you are driving faster?
You certainly are. In fact, well, I believe you're on the side of the road or even rolled over off the road if you drive fast enough.
Oh, my God, it's raining!
So how bad is it out?
It's, you know, at the moment, it's not too bad. It's just at least where I am. Obviously,
right.
I can't tell you.
Yeah, it's everywhere. A big area.
But
course,
I guess there was a big downpour around 4:30, and they had like three sig alerts that are still going on because of that. They had the 210, you know, that south 210 to east 210. That was close because some big rig went through too fast and slammed into the side of the tunnel. And then another big rig came, and then a car came, and then another big rig came. So... I think speeding up isn't the best idea, personally.
You are going to have the busiest traffic day in 3 years today, then, basically, is what's going on.
And people are idiots. Some giant ass in a giant pickup truck almost hit me coming into work, just wasn't looking and just spun into my lane.
Yeah. Well, especially when it's dark and visibility is limited because of rain,
right.
That's when you don't get to go the speed limit. And that's what people don't understand is people think I should be able to drive as fast as possible in every condition. And that just doesn't make any sense. But people don't get that.
Well, the scary thing is too, Bean, and I learned this in many, many driver's ed classes, is when it's foggy out or misty, it makes the appearance that you're going faster. When you're going faster, it looks like you're not going, you know, the speed you're actually going. It makes you look like you're going slower than your actual speed.
So really?
I've
never heard that.
I haven't either. That's weird.
Especially when it's foggy out. You don't have a good perception around you, so it looks like you're going slower than you actually are.
Hmm. I've not heard that. That's interesting. And put your make sure your lights are on, too, people. That will help as well. So, so is your guess that Kevin is probably caught in one of those...
I imagine. I mean, it took, well, not the sig alert. I don't think there's one where he's coming from. But, I mean, it took me an extra, I don't know, 10 minutes to get here just because of flooding and lanes and people swerving and I don't know.
Well, here's the weird
thing. You got to go slower.
Kevin usually calls by now.
He usually calls,
well, that's true. And maybe he's dead.
That's usually my first thought. You know that.
That's my first
thought is if somebody hasn't called within 3 minutes, they're probably dead. So...
Oh, all right. That's too bad.
It is kind of, it's kind of sad.
Yeah,
I mean, it's not entirely sad.
Early
it's kind
in the
of,
year
it's a,
for,
a little bit sad, yeah. I think.
So. I think. Well, I'm sad.
Hey, guys, how long till we go on?
Oh.
Kevin.
Hello.
How long where you been?
How long till we go on?
We're on now. We've been on for 5 minutes.
Glad to see you're not dead.
Oh.
That was Lisa's theory. Well, Kevin's not here yet. He must be dead.
That's usually Bean's jump. Leap.
I know, but you didn't call. Usually you call.
Yeah, why didn't you call, dude?
No, call dad.
Here's the thing. I forgot my cell phone.
Did you remember your key card?
I did, actually.
Okay. So you're halfway there.
But
all right.
Here's why I worry about me, because I forgot my cell phone and I thought, well, I'm not going to be able to call at the beginning of the show. And then my next thought, which is absurd, was I should call Dave and let him know I don't have my phone. What? How does that happen? How do I not just... Well, I'm thinking about not having my phone. And then that thought comes into my mind.
We're all worried about you, Kevin.
We are definitely worried about you. Hey, Lisa was telling us her experience driving in. You guys drive a similar route, but yes. What was it like for you, rain-wise?
Rain-wise was fine. It was just super wet, and cars spun out everywhere. And right. I was stopped dead on the 405 because some guy's tire fell off. So they had to do a traffic break and get his tire and then move him over to the side of the street.
Well, that has nothing to do with rain. That's just stupid.
Who knows? I don't know what it. I have no idea why that happened. But
and that
I
guy is probably
I should call somebody and let him know this guy's got trouble.
And that guy's probably standing outside in the rain going, any day in the last 5 years, my tire could have come off and I wouldn't be standing outside in the rain right now.
Yeah.
That's bad timing for that dude.
Yeah, it's not
so. Well, it's a mess, right? I mean, that's the takeaway.
Oh my God, it's raining! Right.
Go slow, people. If you're late, like Kevin, we'll understand.
Wait, I thought you were supposed to go faster.
No, I'm saying today. Okay. I'm just disagreeing with you. You can do what Kevin says or what I say, but consider the source.
How dare you? All right, have you done your little funny story, ha-ha story?
So that was our chat time.
Okay, all right. Should we talk about today's Kevin and Bean show? Who knew we already outdo that? We have Dr. Drew on the program today.
Yeah.
As we do most Thursdays.
Legit's Dr. Drew.
That's right.
He was super good on that show.
He was good. Mike, not so good.
Really?
Well, no, he was fine. I'm just kidding.
I haven't seen it yet.
It's funny. Okay. I love that show so much. We also have the fact that clowns are dying, and so we don't have as many clowns as we used to, and they're getting very worried about the population of the clowns versus the population of the
United States.
They're
not breeding like they used
Correct.
To.
Correct.
Well, who wants to have sex with a clown?
That's right. We also are going to talk about something that's weird about Bean, and I know this seems to happen a lot, but we found out over the last couple of days that Bean makes lists.
Well, I didn't know that.
Lists about everything. He can't. He can't hear and like a song without thinking, I wonder where that would fall in my list of favorites or list of TV shows. He's constantly reevaluating his lists, which is a little weird. I got to be honest. A little weird.
Yeah.
We have Donald Logue on the program today talking about the Vikings.
Oh, he's great.
Very excited about that. And Fred Armisen. From Portlandia,
yeah.
Love Fred so much.
He's awesome.
So talented.
The episode that's on tonight is awesome. It's just, that is the wackiest, weirdest, maybe you should be high show, one of them on TV.
So yeah, totally.
Talk to him about that as well, and the Chihuahua gangs in Arizona, too.
Oh, yeah.
We will take a break and come back.
I hope none of those dogs are gay.
We'll take a break and come back with the Ralph Showbiz Beat. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:55.
Thursday morning, Ralph is here. Time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat. What the hell is going on, man?
What do you think the worst part about being Amanda Bynes is?
Worst part about being a man.
I would imagine all the snarky comments about her past of the last couple of years or so.
Nope.
That's not the worst thing?
No.
Is this coming from her or someone else?
Coming from me.
From you. Okay.
I'm thinking about it. Thinking, what's the worst part?
Worst
part is this conversation.
I did what?
Yeah, well.
That's what I think.
That's very possible. Apparently,
it's like Kevin every Monday.
That's right. Apparently, while Amanda was suffering with her breakdown due to schizophrenia and bipolar disorder when she was not diagnosed or on meds or in treatment, she doesn't have a memory of a lot of the nutty things she was doing while she was out there.
Wow. That's rough.
Friends say she is especially embarrassed and mortified by what she tweeted quite often. Using the social media, she was embarrassed by what she had heard after the fact that she was out there tweeting. Most of all, they say she is horrified that she asked Drake to murder her vagina.
That was her best line.
It was brilliant.
Well, defined best.
Most entertaining for us.
Yeah. We did, yeah. On the bright side, Amanda is reportedly quit smoking pot. She's having many of her tattoos removed. She's enrolled in a fashion school, is doing great, and she's a very nice young lady again, and everybody's very thrilled with her progress. So that is good news. It's nice to hear.
It's always fun to watch the meltdown until you realize it's serious, and then it's not fun anymore.
It's not. The meltdowns are always fun unless it's mental illness. Then it's not fun anymore.
But we didn't know that.
We thought she was just a self-inflicted loon. She was stoned all the time or something. We didn't know. Come on, we didn't know.
No, we didn't. I'm happy for her.
I am too. Mob Wives. You ever watch that show, Mob Wives? Anybody?
Seen it.
Like some clips here and there, yeah.
Karen Gravano is the name of one of the Mob Wives. She is suing the makers of Grand Theft Auto for $40 million, claiming they ripped off her life in a storyline in their game.
The Mob Wife.
Yeah.
What's it?
Well, Lindsay Lohan tried this, too. She said, oh, you used my image and my storyline. Any whore who got mixed up with a bad boy thinks their life is in Grand Theft Auto. It's just a bunch of thugs and whores. It's okay. It doesn't necessarily have to be you. Just because you recognize yourself in those characters doesn't mean it's you. She's asking for $20 million in punitive damages and another $20 million to get her nails done in Staten Island. So we're going to wait and see if that actually happens or not.
That's like a lot for nails.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy the prices there. We were just talking about Rashida Jones. It was her birthday this week. She's got a new TV show coming to TBS called Tribeca. It has nothing to do with the section of New York City. It's the name of Rashida's character in the TV pilot. She works for the LAPD as part of an offbeat investigative team that solves crimes for the LAPD. Great cast, by the way. Alfred Molina will guest star on the pilot as a handwriting expert. Friends star Lisa Kudrow is reportedly in talks to appear in the pilot as well. The pilot, the reason it's really interesting is it was written and will be directed by Steve Carell.
No kidding.
No, really?
Yeah.
When is that going to air, do you know?
It does not say here what the schedule is, Lisa.
Is it today?
Yes, it won't be today.
Okay.
Rashida Jones, her parents on the show will be played by Quincy Jones and Peggy Lipton.
That's terrible casting. No one will believe that.
Those are her actual parents.
Ah.
Q and Peggy Lipton are her folks. Are they still together, Quincy Jones and Peggy Lipton?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
But they're getting back together to play her folks on the show. That's kind of cool.
That's awesome. I love everything about what you've just described on that show.
Put it in your list of top 10 most looked forward to pilots.
I will.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Big Game James. James Worthy of your Los Angeles Lakers, now a basketball analyst. He's 53 years old today. Actor Adam Baldwin is 52. Grant Cho, actor of Melrose Place, is 52. Donald Logue.
No way! We're talking to him in 25 minutes.
We're talking to him in 25 minutes!
We're talking to him in 25 minutes!
25 minutes!
He celebrates his 48th birthday today. Chili of TLC is 43.
Can we have Dave double, triple check before we embarrass ourselves by wishing him a happy birthday when he comes on the line to find out, oh, I got the wrong guy. I was thinking of somebody else.
Or we could have just somebody else check it once.
Or have Dave check it 50 times?
Right.
It's true!
Dave, I swear to God, if it's not his birthday today and we say something, you're in trouble, man.
I'm quaking.
What'd he say?
I'm quaking.
He's quaking.
I'm quaking.
Oh. And we're about 30 minutes away from, it's not my fault.
See, Bean's not a gambler. I would just roll the dice. I would just go for it. I would commit. Say, happy birthday, Donald. First thing when he got on the phone. Say, it's not my
if he protests, you just steamroll him.
Yeah.
What are you doing today?
What do you
this
know?
Should be a great day.
Josh Groban's 53. Drummer Jared Champion of Cage the Elephant. Too many C's. Sentence for me is 31. Actress Katie Mara. She is 31 years old today. And J-Wow, our old pal J-Wow from the Jersey Shore. J-Wow, who has officially changed her name, have you heard now, to J-Wow, you've got a lot of plastic surgery done.
No, I didn't know that
was
her name.
That's true. She's 28. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Let's check in with Donald Logue, make sure he's okay out there in the rain, make sure he doesn't need a boat or a life raft or emergency cruise.
I just made it in. Yeah, I was driving in from the desert, and it was getting kind of squirrely out there.
Now, Donald, before we begin talking about Vikings, if you don't mind, I would just like to go back to the last time we talked to you, which I believe was Sons of Anarchy. And
I was doing Vikings because I remember running around desperately trying to find the email with your phone number on it.
Right.
in Dublin. I was on Sons of Anarchy.
But my question about that is you talked to us about being on Sons of Anarchy, and that night, I think it was that night, you died.
Yeah, that's right.
I was kind of laughing to myself.
Yeah.
What was I going to say?
So you're going to be is that happening to you tonight?
No.
Okay.
I'm definitely living through the night. Yes.
You're going to live through the night. Okay, good.
Look, we knew you were a good actor, but never more so than that day when you made it sound like you were going to be on Sons of Anarchy for the rest of your life, and 12 hours later, we saw you stabbed to death.
I was supposed to be on Sons for a long time, but then they changed the schedule of Vikings, so I put Kurt Sutter at the tough spot. He had to rewrite stuff, and he had to figure out a way to get me out of there sooner.
Well, it was an awesome death scene. Hey, the Vikings comes back tonight for season two. I guess I wasn't paying attention in school because I didn't major in intellectual history at Harvard like you did. But this King Horik that you play...
That's a little bit of a... I was a history major, but yeah.
Okay. This King Horik, though, real dude. Something we actually know something about historically, right?
Absolutely, yeah. He was, you know, King Horik was really the first one that he corresponded with a lot of the other kind of Frankish kings, and he was a really savvy kind of political guy. The time frame he was in was slightly different. It was like 827 to 854.
That's what I thought.
But the Vikings had an amazing impact on the West. Like Russia is the Rus people, the Vikings. They went into the Ukraine, and then, you know, of course, England and Iceland, they were in North America before the Spaniards. So, you know, they didn't write the same way. They didn't, like the Greeks and the Romans had everything written down. So we didn't, you know, they were mysterious, but they had an impact.
That's interesting. Now, how much of an attempt, because none of your viewers know anything about the real Viking history, how closely do the writers align it with what actually happened, or is that just a jumping off point?
Michael Hurst and Justin Pollard is this academic who's amazing. Like, as you can imagine, like this brilliant English academic who they put in charge of these things. And he, even to the point where like just little bits and pieces of either tools or pottery on the tables, like, were actually reproductions from museums. But it's always funny reading the internet when someone just kind of talks about how absurd it is historically. And just kind of in the back of my mind, I'm like, you are 1/100th as smart as Justin Pollard. Like, if you could just listen to Justin Pollard, like, absolutely, do they have to take liberties? Do you have to fit it within this narrative structure, all that stuff? But, like, they try and be... You know, Michael Hurst does his best in that regard. But
oh, I'm sure. I'm sure.
Does he come up to you at any point and say, hey, King Horik wouldn't have used the word Holmes? Does that happen?
Yeah. You know, Michael was my neighbor, and I'm always just fascinated being around people who are so knowledgeable about history. So we had a lot of good kind of hangouts and talks. But I don't know. This season was really great. It was an amazing experience. I kind of just can't wait for people to see it. But it was, what I do like about the historical accuracy of Vikings is, you know, the numbers involved were very small. They might just take one or two or three longboats with men. That was the first raid into England in 795. And so, like, people are so used to these CGI kind of armies of 250,000. That's ridiculous.
Right.
What wasn't ridiculous was that sometimes bands of 20, 30, 40 men could have changed history.
Wow, that is really something.
It looks absurd to some viewers because they're like, oh, the big battle scene with 85 guys. Well, that was it.
That's how they did it, huh?
Isn't that interesting that land could be ceded based on whether my 40 guys can beat your 40 guys? I mean, it's interesting, and it's also, to me, fascinating when I watch the Vikings to see – it's all hand-to-hand combat. I mean, you've got some spears a little bit, but it's not like modern weaponry at all. I mean, that's a tough way to win, is hand-to-hand.
Yeah, I would have lasted 42 seconds. Someone would have just thrown an axe across a bar and taken me out.
This is one of those shows, by the way, Vikings, which for me, Kevin, really not my type of thing. I would look at this and I'd go, Vikings, History Channel, no thanks. And then we had, I forget who on, somebody from last season, and I watched it, and it was great. I was very surprised. It didn't seem like it was my type of show, but it's really well done.
But, you know, like any type of show, regardless of the setting, it's like, it's a in Vikings season one, so much of it was like a family drama.
Right.
And you know, like you can set it in a hospital or you know, police department or whatever, but there's always going to be that kind of like, there's always going to be human greed and domestic drama and stuff. And hopefully, like, if the people feel like the characters are compelling enough, they'll hang out regardless of what, you know, and hopefully with this one, they'll learn a little bit too on the
right
side.
And let's also make a point of saying this. It's not just guys running around fighting each other. Some of the hottest chicks on TV are on your show, and this is in the, you know, the 8th century or something without the benefit of lots of health care and makeup. How do they look so good?
Now, we have some really beautiful women on the show, and Catherine Winnick, who plays Lagertha, is also this super duper Taekwondo ultra master of the universe. Like, she started in stunts and then she started getting into this so she could do, she could do all that stuff, which,
wow,
was,
yeah,
which was great. But Viking, the women did fight. And also the women could divorce the men and keep their stuff after they were divorced. Like, in a lot of ways, Viking culture was a lot more progressive than even some in a lot of places today.
Wow. No kidding.
I remember one scene from last year where, like, three guys come in and they try to rape and or kill her, and she kicks all their asses. And then her husband comes home, and he said, "How was your day?" And she's like, "Fine."
Yeah. I remember that.
That was so weird.
Can't mess with Viking chicks.
Nope, exactly. Hey, in our remaining moment with the great actor Donald Logue here on the Kevin DeBeach Show, talking about the Vikings returning Season 2, History Channel, tonight at 10 o'clock, Season 2 premiere. How about a word about Gotham? I mean, this is a whole, your name is in a whole new stratosphere with geek culture now as a result of being on that show. Has it been crazy since it's been announced?
Yeah, Gotham is, we're going to start doing Gotham in a few weeks in New York, and it's funny because I remember I did a movie, Ghost Rider, and on one hand, like, comic book culture, like, it is the best. The fans are the deepest, Comic-Con.
Right.
And the most caring and the most discerning. And yet there is also this incredibly analytical thing that goes down where people talk about Ghost Rider that's not true to the original.
Right.
And then you're like, It's a skeleton on a motorcycle on fire.
How accurate, like, does it have to be?
How deep do we have to go into this one? And so you definitely feel the heat of expectation, or usually like the heat of, but I think it's going to be great. Like, I love the script. I'm excited, and I really am looking forward to working with Ben McKenzie.
Oh, we can't wait. Now, he's playing the man who will be Commissioner Gordon, Jim Gordon. You're playing Detective Harvey Bullock. Now, but still no word on who will be the young Batman, right?
I think they cast he'll be around 12, I think. So I have a feeling that they did, but I haven't met him yet, but I will next week.
Fantastic. Can't wait. Boy, Donald, you have such a fascinating career, and you're such an interesting guy. We always appreciate being able to catch up with him on the Kevin DeBeach Show. And if our facts are correct, I think we leave you by saying happy birthday. Does that apply today?
Oh, yeah, thank you. Thank you so much.
Can this greeting be our gift?
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
good.
Absolutely.
Okay,
the best.
Good. Thanks, Donald. We'll talk to you again soon, buddy.
All right, man. Take care.
Thanks. Arizona, Kevin, your home state, has been in the news quite a lot lately. We're not talking about the bill that was announced by the governor yesterday, Jan Brewer, that she's going to be vetoing, that religious freedom bill that has been so much in the news.
Right.
This is another story about Arizona where I feel like your former hometown, no pun intended here, has gone to the dogs because they have got nothing but troubles. Very little good news coming out of Arizona lately. And this story is just the latest.
Here's a little news audio for you.
Packs of wild dogs. I mean, right here in the city. There are packs of dogs, 10 to 15 dogs in some cases.
Dogs unleashed on the street.
Yeah, a lot of them. They're out here sometimes chasing kids, or they're going from yard to yard. You know,
how many? How many?
Anywhere in groups of 8 to 12.
What's bad about this situation?
Obviously, you've got the deal with feces, and it's just unsanitary. But also, when you've got all of these stray animals running loose, kids, families, everyone's at risk for dog bites.
Okay, we're not talking about Russia here with wild dogs
right.
just roaming throughout the streets. We're talking about the United States of America, right? They've just given up, and just dogs are just running the neighborhood.
Well, I don't think they've given up. I mean, the point is they have to be on alert.
But aren't they, these aren't wolves, right? They're just chihuahuas.
These are chihuahuas, yes. I feel like if I had a heart attack and I fell to the ground and couldn't move, I could fight off 8 chihuahuas for a couple of weeks, maybe a month.
It does seem like it's not the most dangerous threat that has ever attacked America, right?
No, that's correct.
Well, we wanted to find out what the heck is going on, because apparently Maricopa County Animal Care and Control is just, that's all they're doing all day long, is trying to round up these dogs, and they just can't get a handle on it. There's so many of them. So we thought we'd call the City of Maryvale. I'm not sure who we've got, but producer Dave has lined up a spokesperson from the town of Maryvale on the phone with us right now. Hello there, sir.
Orle. What's up, home?
We're calling about all the chihuahuas roaming the streets there in Maryville?
Yeah, that's right. I'm Chihuahua.
You're a Chihuahua.
That's right. I'm Chihuahua. You got a problem with that?
No, not at all. No.
Okay, then. Why don't you shut up?
Okay, but we can't talk to you then.
Oh, it's your problem, eh?
So what's going on out there in Arizona?
We're taking over.
You're taking over the entire
city?
That's
right. Maryville is now belong to the Chihuahuas, man.
Okay. Are you planning on making more and more of the city yours?
Yeah, we're going to take over the whole state.
Wow. Oh, okay.
Look, we didn't move over the border, okay? The border moved over us.
But aren't you just Chihuahuas that just you bred?
Just Chihuahuas.
Yeah,
come over here and say that, eh?
I'm just saying person plus Chihuahua generally equals person. I mean, you're not a tiger.
Okay, how about this?
Whoa, I didn't know you you're armed?
Chihuahua plus shotgun equals cap your ass, eh?
Why does a Chihuahua have a shotgun?
Because you need to protect yourself.
But you're running in packs, aren't you?
It's hard out here for a pimp, eh?
You're a pimp, too? You're just a little tiny dog.
Of bitches.
Well, that's true. That's
true,
actually.
Let's say you're like, like a St. Bernard or something.
Right.
And you want to, a little Chihuahua action, I can hook you up.
I see. Yeah. It costs like $50, $40 maybe, to get a dog neutered or spayed. Well, I'm just saying, why are there so many of you? Why are so many of these dogs being born in the streets and running around the town?
Shut up. Why don't we take your balls, eh? Why you got to say that for people?
His have been taken.
Now they have. Hey. Yo quiero Taco Bell.
Really?
I'm so hungry. Sorry, people expect us to say that.
Nice. 106.7 K-Rock. This is KROQ. It is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:52. Dr. Drew Pinsky with his weekly visit on the Kevin and Bean Show later on this morning. Also, Where Are All the Clowns Going? And Fred Armisen talks Portlandia. And you know, Kevin, he's the new band leader on the Seth Meyers Late Night Show as well. So Fred's got double duty right now, doing a lot of work. Ralph is here. Time for the Showbiz Beat now on a Thursday. What's going on?
Speaking of Seth Meyers, cheer about our boy Kanye on a show on Tuesday night?
No, not
I watched
yet.
That. I saw that.
Did you?
Yeah.
Were you impressed by the synesthesia?
The what?
Synesthesia.
I didn't see that part.
What is that?
Oh, come on.
What happened?
Kanye West says he has a condition called synesthesia.
I don't even know what that is.
Synesthesia.
Okay. It's a condition, though.
It's a condition.
Medical condition.
A medical condition he claims he has.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Which just causes people to receive one kind of sensory input but experience it with a different sense.
Why?
What is...
Kanye claims he sees sound.
Does he say that's why he's such a
genius?
Quote, genius?
Yes. I give you paintings, sonic paintings. I have synesthesia. I can see sound.
Obviously.
I have heard of that.
I did.
I have too.
It's pretty darn rare.
Yeah, it doesn't happen. But
He doesn't have it.
I know that much. So when I do fashion, I want to give you sculptures. It's like Michelangelo. The church wanted him to paint, but he wanted to do sculptures. The difficult for me... This is just a word salad. The difficult thing for me is that I just want to be able to use marble and make sculptures, but due to the fact that I'm a celebrity and all these different things, they're like, no, you can't do this. You have to do this kind of fashion line. And it's the first of its kind, so there's been a lot of confusion about why I want to do it and why I'm so frustrated about it. It's an overall creative expression.
He said these things out loud?
Yes.
On TV?
Yeah.
Obsessed with this stupid fashion line.
He sure is.
By the way, as rich as he is and as big a celebrity as he is, you know what he could do? Sculpt. Nobody's like, there's no sculpture police that are saying, hey, you just make music.
But he wants his fashion line, man.
So
be his sculpture. He wants that to be his input, his imprint on America, on the world.
Isn't he the one that has $300 t-shirts that are just nothing?
Yeah,
nothing but t-shirts?
He just can't get over the leather track pants that someone else wants put out instead of him.
What's happening?
I love Bruce Springsteen. Why do I love Bruce Springsteen? Because the guy is, I don't know, what's he, 63, 64?
Right about that,
early 60s. He still seems to be having fun doing it.
He sure does.
And doesn't just go back and just play the hits. He tries to invent and create and do something fresh and fun. He did his final concert in Australia on tour last night. For his final tunes, he's been playing a cover.
I love that.
Just for fun.
I like when bands do that.
Mostly it's been the AC/DC tunes on the
road. He's been playing Australian artists while he's been down under. Yeah
right. For the sold-out crowd at the Brisbane Entertainment Center, he picked another Australian act to cover. I think you'll be surprised by the choice. Here's a little live audio from the show last night in Australia. The whole thing online. He breaks out the brass comes up and they've got a string section. It's
really?
A full orchestrated version of a cover of Staying Alive by the Bee Gees.
I wish whoever recorded that would have taken their phone out of their pocket.
Well, look, it's amateur audio. It's not an official release, but
When you say it's online with the whole horns and everything, is it that audio?
It's a video. It's a video.
It's a video.
Someone's got a camera video of the entire moment, but it's really fun the way he did
it.
You
wouldn't expect that.
No, you would not expect Staying Alive from Bruce Springsteen.
I don't know how many cover songs Bruce knows, but he, you know, when you go to a Bruce Springsteen concert, as Ralph was alluding to, you don't just get the same 20 songs. I mean, he pulls from 500 different songs, and you never know what kind of covers he's going to pull out. It could be something he's never done before, like that one, or it could be something he hasn't done in 30 years. It's just his set lists are a miracle.
And you ready for a movie that's going to suck?
Yep.
Just announced a new movie, Pixels.
Pixels.
Pixels, a movie that features 1980s video game characters attacking New York City. The star, Adam Sandler. And Kevin James.
That's a terrible idea.
Kevin James and Adam Sandler starring a movie about 80s famous video characters coming to life and attacking New York City.
Fire beer mug.
Yeah, beer mug. This is a bad idea. I don't know how you sold it.
Look, it's either going to be horrible, and I'd put my money on that. Or genius. It can't be anywhere in between. If it's not genius, it's going to be the worst thing that's ever been made.
What do you think the odds
are? I'm saying 95%.
Adam Sandler, Kevin James, battling Frogger, or whoever, centipedes going down Madison Avenue, or Donkey Kong's climbing the Empire State Building. What do you think?
I knew that Adam Sandler's career was in trouble when he lost Kevin.
Yeah, I used to watch all things
that's
Adam Sandler.
You were always in.
Yep.
Yeah. And then he just got, I think it was Little Nicky that might have finally broken you. But
now Kevin actually pauses before he pays for his ticket to an Adam Sandler movie.
I still pay for it.
I know.
I pause.
Yeah, exactly. You give it a thought. You go, should I do this? No. Just let it go. And you just hand them their money. Today's celebrity birthdays. Adam Baldwin, the actor, is 52 years old today. James Worthy, former Laker and basketball analyst, 53 years old. Donald Logue, as we just mentioned a little while ago when we talked to him on the air, 48 years old. Chili of TLC is 43. Josh Groban turns 33. Kate Mara is 31 years old. And JWoww of Jersey Shore fame, 28 years old. Jarrett Champion from Cage the Elephant turns 31. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
K-Rock's World Tour 2014. Destination number 4 is the Black Keys in the Swiss Alps. 9:10 this morning. We'll get you on the standby boarding list. You might win that trip. You can get the details at krock.com. Swiss Alps, by the way, my fourth favorite mountain range.
Oh, God. Stop it.
Ricola.
Yesterday, Bean was, I think we were talking, what were we talking about? We were talking about Wonderwall by Oasis.
Yes, we had just played it, I believe.
Yes, and Bean came out of it and said, hey, that's my favorite song from the 90s.
No, first he said, you know, as I was going around making lists about these things as I do, I was putting together my list of the best songs of the 90s, and I have to think that Wonderwall is right up there at number one.
And we said, what are you talking about? He's like, you guys don't make lists?
You don't just go around making lists about everything and put them all in order? Everything that you see?
He said that at the end of the year, he has a real problem, like, with his own list of his favorite songs for the year. Like, he makes lists for everything.
He's like he's freaking Forbes magazine.
Right. Doesn't matter if it's hot chicks or what the category is.
And he's not publishing these lists. He's a list he makes for himself.
Just in his mind. And he fights with himself for hours.
Weird bean world. Yeah. He struggles with the lists that he must make.
Look, it's hard to imagine at this point that we're still finding out new things about bean.
Weirder things.
We should have known, though.
Yeah, we should have.
Because he's always saying, well, that's my fourth favorite whatever. Or what's in your top three list of blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I have no idea. About
that. We don't make lists.
No.
May I chime in?
Please.
I made a list about reasons why I make lists.
Hold on. Has anything been said that's inaccurate?
Just your surprise is a surprise to me because, look, all we're talking about here is just is knowing where I stand on things. That's all, which I think it's important. I know that nobody else cares where I stand, but it's important for me to know what I am about.
But wait, you're confused by where you stand on things? But do you not speak with you on a regular basis?
Here's what I think, B.
Are you like us? Have you finally turned your back on you and can't stand
no,
to talk to you anymore?
I haven't at all, but look, how do I put this into words? A person should know what he believes, right?
Right. You already
That's
said
all
that.
I'm saying. Is
about everything all about, the time?
In order with
yes.
a numerical ranking. A person should know where things are numerically ranked in
yes,
his life.
Yes. Let me give you an example of where I run into trouble. And I don't know. I mean, look, you guys always say I'm Aspergy. Mm-hmm. I'm not. I don't think
oh,
I am. At all.
Only 100%.
So right. I don't know if this is going to work against me. But I see things in lists. Okay. That's how I see. Kanye sees music in colors. Uh-huh. I see things in lists. So, for instance,
Bean makes lists, what a dick.
What?
That's your new jingle.
So I'll give you an example of what happens. It's a perfect example. So I went to the supermarket the other day, and they were out of Splenda, which I love. I'm a Splenda. Splenda is my favorite of all the non-sugar sweeteners.
How's that a category?
On your list of sweeteners, Splenda is number one.
Splenda is number one, clear, obviously, and Sweet and Low is the worst. Sweet and Low is horrible. Everybody knows Sweet and Low, and then you got Equal in between. So I tried something new. I bought something called Truvia, which I've never seen before, never heard of before, and that's the sweetener that I'm using right now because they're out of Splenda.
Don't
so
you
I'm
have your manslave Marty check that out first before you ingest it?
So I'm using Truvia, and I'm thinking, do I like Truvia more than I like Equal? Like, I know it's not the best, but it's also not the worst. Like, where do I put that on the list? Because I think it's important to know that sort of thing
well,
so that you can make
– just kind of internally know what you like better, and that's it. It's done. I go, you know what? That's the one I like. I'll buy that.
But
done.
I think
there's no list.
Why does it have to be ranked
does
behind
be
something
Holy
else and in
crap.
Front of us?
I'm not agonizing.
Because the next time I'm at a restaurant or something like that, I'll have that database to access to know which one of the sweeteners I should reach for because I'll already have categorized which one is my
How
favorite.
How far ahead do you need to plan for a sweetener at a meal?
Well,
when
I mean,
you need a sweetener. You look at what's in the jar there and say, okay, I've heard that before. I'll just use that one.
I'm just –
And not give it another thought.
Right. I don't need to quantify it or put it down on a list.
Make a graph.
Let me say something,
Bean. A team of scientists working out my choice.
Let me say something, Bean, that might make your head spin because this is not the way you think. But I heard Wonderwall by Oasis and I thought, oh, I like that song.
Mm-hmm. That was enjoyable.
That's it.
Yeah.
But you liked it how much and compared to what?
That's all. That was my thought process. Just I like the song.
It doesn't have to compare to something else and be ranked in comparison. It can stand alone. It's just a pleasant experience.
I think Bean is expecting the world to end at any moment. So then he needs to know like his number one of everything and his number two of everything so that he could actually make an informed decision. But it's not gonna. You're gonna hear another song that you like and you go, well, I like that
Guys,
too.
I don't think there's anything wrong with self-reflection, first of all. And I don't
too
think
much
that,
self-reflection though.
But I mean
But
what,
this isn't self-reflection. This
But
is
it
just,
kind of is.
No, it's, it isn't.
I mean if
it,
you
this
if,
is
if,
full if, blown Asperger's.
You're just listing items for the sake of it. This is not you're not learning anything about your true self. You're not navel gazing here, finding out anything important about your persona. You're listing sweeteners. That's what you're doing. You have a list of sweeteners. What is that teaching you about yourself, Bean? Other than you're nuts.
I'd like to get
a
some some help from the Kevin and Bean listeners.
Oh, they're not going to help you on this.
No, I'm just saying, if there's anyone else who can better describe what it is I'm trying to say, if you also make lists of things in your life, please call. I'd like to hear from you at 1-800-520.
Bean makes lists, what a dick.
I don't know that makes me a dick. But let me say, this is what I mean by self-reflection, Ralph. Like, what's your favorite color?
Blue, I guess.
Because
I don't know what my favorite
but
color
hold on,
is.
Bean. Hold on, hold on. Did you hear what Ralph said? Blue, I guess. You know why?
I guess.
It doesn't
right.
really matter
yeah,
to him.
I like red
much.
A lot too. I like black.
I like red a lot too, and I like black too. Those are probably among my top two.
But there's no conflict in Ralph.
But why can't I decide which one I like better? That's troubling to me. Like, I should be able to make an opinion, you know, or make a decision on which one of those colors I like better. And it's troubling to me that I can't make that list sometimes. So I'll spend some time going.
It's troubling to
pros
you.
And cons. You know, which one? Why? What? Here's a point for black, point for red. It upsets me.
It's troubling to you because if you don't come to a firm conclusion, if you don't have an absolute choice, then what happens? What's the repercussions? What's the penalty?
Then I don't know
do you
who
faint?
I am.
You don't know who you are?
What? And I break ribs, Kevin.
If you think that your color, your favorite color, has anything to do with who you are truly as a person, you need to kill yourself now.
I'm just saying that's
what happens to Bean. He's thinking about colors, and he can't figure out what's number one and what's number two. He's out on the street, and so he just... He just passes out.
His brain just shuts down.
That was another rib.
His brain just shuts down because he can't process what his number one color is. Oh, well, that's a point for black, but red has some fine qualities.
I don't understand how you cannot care what you like and don't like.
Hold on. See, this is where you're wrong. It's not that we don't care what we like or dislike. We could like blue, and then we could like red. And that's all cool.
But you have to like one more than the other.
No, you don't have to.
You do. You have to. You can't like them both exactly
the
same.
I know I like blue.
Right.
I know I'm not fond of brown.
Okay.
So I don't wear a lot of brown.
Right.
And I wear a lot of blue.
But where do they rank? Where does brown...
It doesn't matter. I just look at a closet and I say, I like that color. I don't like that color. I don't need that. I don't need a ranking.
What if you're in a restaurant and you don't know what kind of sugar to get?
Well, let's talk to Nicole.
Oh, what sweetie should I get?
But let's put Nicole on line two, please. She makes lists all the time. Nicole is my girl.
Nicole, what is it like to have Asperger's?
I don't have Asperger's, and I'm sorry that Ralph's going to hate me, but it keeps my life organized.
Keeps your life organized.
Organized. Yes. What's wrong with that?
You don't need organization when it comes to a sweetener. Buy one or
yes,
don't.
You do. No, you totally do. And colors, too. Like it keeps me like safe knowing that green is my favorite color.
Isn't that comforting to have that decision
yes.
made and it's written down and it's final and it's
wow.
not
oh
something
God,
you have to
totally.
Worry about?
Who worries about it? Who spends time worrying?
You know you're living a life of illusion, right? If you think that knowing exactly what rank your favorite colors falls in gives you any control over your world whatsoever.
I'm totally not. If you don't understand.
We understand.
We're not diagnosed. No. That's what we understand.
Yes. Right. You need a medical healthcare professional.
Nicole, don't listen to them, Nicole. I love you, and you're right. Thank you for calling, okay?
And Nicole, too.
This is turning into a macadamia day.
Oh!
His favorite nut
That's
list.
That's right. He told us that was his favorite nut list. That's right.
No, macadamia's down low, Kevin.
Way low.
Cashews are at the top.
I got confused about
walnuts.
Sometimes
list.
Yeah, walnuts.
The pistachios, then almonds.
Because if you
pecans.
Don't know, Kevin, exactly what rank your favorite nuts fall in, how can you organize your life? How can you get through your day?
Then who are you?
Who are you really in the final analysis if you don't know your nut list?
Thank you, Ralph.
And
finally, we agree on something.
Confused about the nuts for a second, you go,
Congratulations to our friends on the Loveline show, Dr. Drew and Mike Catherwood. They were great on last night's season 2 premiere of Legit on FXX. I was really impressed with them, by the way.
I was too.
Especially Dr. Drew had a lot of lines on that show. I mean, he was an actual real-life actor on the program. I was not impressed with having an image burned into my mind of Jim Jeffries masturbating in the shower. That's something I could have done without.
That was scene one, and you can't unsee that.
You can't unsee that. Yeah, right. That was bad. We had Jim earlier in the week on the program, and yesterday we had his co-star from Legit, DJ Qualls, in. And DJ is a guy you'd recognize if you saw him. He's been in a lot of great movies. Road Trip he was in. He was in Hustle and Flow. But he's terrific on this Legit show. But he told us, we thought we know this guy. We've hung out with him a little bit. We thought we knew what he was all about. And he told us something yesterday that was so surprising to us that we thought it might make for an interesting phone topic of the thing that's going on in your life that people are always amazed by when they find out about it. Something you've done or something you have.
Now, here's the important distinction. This is not Bean surprises us once a week with something absurd. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Like you could count 50 things about Bean that are surprising. This is everybody thinks they know you except for that one deal. And that one deal, people have trouble making sense of. So we have DJ Qualls in,
okay.
And he says this.
I like French paintings from like 1870 to around 1943.
Now, I was like, what?
Obviously.
I know it's...
Who doesn't?
I started liking art a few years ago. Well, I've always liked it, but I started collecting it when I realized that it was within reach for me.
Yeah. He likes French impressionistic. Is that the right word, Bean? I forget what it was, but there's a term for the art that he likes during those years, and he's become a hardcore collector.
Right.
So you put that together with like everything else you know about DJ Qualls, and you go, what?
That doesn't fit at all.
Right.
I don't want to give any names out, but I'll give you another example. And we're going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. By the way, it's kind of like finding out that Lisa May is a mauve belt. You look at her and you go, right. Wow, I would not have pictured her for the Taekwondo type of person.
That's
right?
That's true, yeah.
We have a guy who works here at K-Rock who is an IT guy. And he's a guy that you... He's exactly what you would expect from an IT guy. And I love the guy, and he's the nicest guy in the world, but he looks just like an IT guy.
Mm-hmm.
Beneath those clothes, beneath that starched white shirt, he's completely body tattooed, like just sleeved. And you would never in a million years, if you didn't know that, suspect that of this guy.
Always long sleeve shirts.
Always mm-hmm. long sleeve shirts, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not a stick it to the man kind of guy.
Right, exactly. Nicest guy in the world, just, you know, super friendly, easy to get along with, but you in a million, it's like Mr. Rogers.
Like
you know, we
Mr.
all know
Rogers.
About Mr. Rogers was tattooed when he went to Nam and killed all those guys.
That's right.
You just, you wouldn't expect this guy would be completely sleeved. I mean, that's the kind of surprise that we're talking about with people can't believe you fill in the blank. 1-800-520-1067. I think this is going to get very interesting and perhaps very deep and very dark. I can't wait.
Well, the fun part is that you can kind of get a sense of who people are. Like if you've listened to our show very much, you know that I have pretty bad taste in music, and you know this and you know that, and it all sort of adds up together to the person that you know. And then when something outside the box comes, it's just baffling.
Yeah.
You just can't even figure it out.
Like when Kevin admitted last hour that he majored in intellectual history at Harvard.
Right.
I mean, that was the type of thing that we just went, what?
You wouldn't have thought that. Listening to the show. All right, 1-800-520-1067. We'll take your calls.
Fred Armisen from Portlandia joins us in about 20 minutes or so here on the Kevin Bean Show. And Ralph Garman's coming up with the Showbiz Beat. But first, we're talking about the thing about you that really surprises people. They think they know you, and then they find out what about you, and it knocks them for a loop. We got some great calls to get to. Let's go with Claudia first. She's on line 5. She's going to blow your mind, Kevin.
Hi, Claudia.
Hi.
What is surprising about you?
Actually, I'm a mom of three. I'm a kindergarten teacher and an MMA fighter.
Oh, my gosh.
Wait, last part made it sound like you said you were an MMA fighter.
Yes, that's true.
Kindergarten teacher by day, MMA fighter at night.
Yeah.
How is that not a Michael Bay movie?
I know, right? It's I live in Orange County, which is actually like an MMA capital of California. And some of the parents that I teach, the parents of the kids that I teach actually go to the same gym as me. So
I
it's
love
a
it. You tell them, look, don't mess with me. You got to complain about your kids' education. Don't worry about it.
That's awesome, Claudia. Thank you so much for the call. 1-800-520-1067. Taking your calls on the Kevin Beach Show. Let's go to Dave. He's on line 6. He's a big man to admit this.
Hi, Dave.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, thank you.
Hi, Lisa May.
Hello.
Describe yourself.
I like chick flicks.
Describe yourself.
I'm about 5'10", 250, tattoos all over, shaved head.
5'10", 250s, tattoos, shaved head.
Look like a troublemaker, and I like chick flicks.
What's your favorite? Which one do you watch the most? Are you The Notebook? Are you that guy?
I love Beth Cooper.
The hell is that?
Oh.
You know what that is?
I remember that.
Yeah.
Wow. So you like terrible chick flips?
Yeah,
or whatever.
Like 18 again with the one from French.
Okay, that's bad.
Wow,
you're
bad. You don't see, because most guys, if a chick flick is done well, most guys don't mind it.
Right, like Love Actually or something like that. You go, well, that's just a good movie, but you're going for terrible movies. That's awesome.
Nonsense. All right.
Yeah.
Thank you, Dave. Dave just walks up to everybody in the, you know, in the movie theater and just has them give him their popcorn.
Exactly. Now. And go Raiders, too, by the way. Let's go to Josh. He's up next. He's on line 8, talking about the surprising thing people find out about you.
Hey, Josh.
Hey, guys. Hi, Lisa May.
Hi there.
All right, so I'm a pretty big guy. I'm 6'4", 275, blue collar, total motorhead.
6'4", 275, motorhead.
Yes.
Okay.
And I used to raise and breed show pigeons.
Now, that is a little bit of a surprise.
That's the Mike Tyson thing.
Yeah.
Mike Tyson said he used to love pigeons, and when he got them taken away as a kid, he was bullied, and that made him into the beast that he was. How bizarre.
Well, I kind of went the route of not telling people about it.
That's probably a good route.
Right. So, in other words, you have that that soft, sensitive side that people are surprised to hear about.
Or is it just pigeons?
I don't know. Something my dad got into, and I ended up loving it as a kid and getting into it in adulthood. And,
okay.
And, yeah, I think
nobody knows that.
I think you're making the right decision keeping that to yourself.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go to Leah. She's on line 4. This is a bizarre call.
Hey, Leah.
Hi.
What are people surprised about you?
That I'm Wiccan.
That you're a witch?
Yeah, I'm a witch.
Okay.
That would be surprising.
I've gone to Catholic school my entire life.
Okay.
Since I was in kindergarten, I've gone to Catholic school, and I'll just casually mention to people that I'm Wiccan, and they're taken aback.
Yeah, we guess so.
Well,
that's not
because most of us, I think most of us don't know anyone who identifies as a Wiccan. So I think it was always a surprise when you meet somebody who is.
Yeah.
Look, it's no crazier than being a Catholic in my mind, so it doesn't bother me.
No, we're fine with everything you think, Leah.
All right,
and your spells and your potions.
We love everything about you.
Thank you for the call. Let's go to Joe. He's up next, line 1 on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Joe.
Hey, good morning, Kevin and Bean. Lisa May.
Hello.
What surprises people about you?
Well, I was a former Marine, did 2 tours in Afghanistan, 4 tours in Iraq. I'm tatted up, I'm Mexican, shaved head, goatee.
Wow. All right.
I'm a comic book.
You're a comic book geek.
Yeah, I'm a comic book geek, and actually, I just went yesterday to City of Industry to go pick up a book for 50 cents, and I live in Orange County, so I had to take that long drive for a 50 cent book because I love comic books, and everybody who looks at me looks and says this isn't right. You know that this guy, you know, who did, you know, everybody who knows me is like, oh, he's a Marine,
right?
Drives a lifted truck, he's tatted up, and I sit at home and I read comic books on the weekend.
Did you tell the other Marines that you do that?
Do you want me to get my ass kicked?
I'm guessing you can defend yourself.
Well, yeah, of course we can, but so can they.
All right. Okay.
It's funny, though, that if you went to Comic-Con, you would be so excited to be there to see all that stuff, and everybody else at Comic-Con would just be terrified of you because they'd think that you were there to bully them.
I have been to Comic-Con twice.
Nice. Nice.
And they are afraid of me, so...
That works in your favor at times. Thank you, Joe.
Exactly. Not a problem.
Bye now.
I think the thing about comic book geeks, especially these days, is there are so many of them that you'll find them every single type of person, every single line of work, you know, race, creed, color, sexual orientation. There's just comic book geeks everywhere these days. But don't mess with that dude.
All right. Let's go to Charlotte. Hi, Charlotte.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. Describe yourself first, please.
Hi, Lisa May.
Hello.
Or say hi to Lisa.
So I'm 5'5", blonde, weigh 105 pounds.
105 pounds?
105 pounds. Well, 105, 107, around there.
All right.
And I do Krav Maga. I'm a level 2. It's basically Israeli street fighting.
Wow.
It's like the MMA, Israeli MMA fighting type?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
and so just a lot, I've taken a lot of my friends there and to try out a class. And they're like, whoa, like I can't believe you punch like that and kick like that. Like, you're a machine.
You said second level or second degree or something? Is that advanced in that?
It's pretty advanced.
Yeah.
It's more than a lot of people can say.
Nobody would suspect that you would be a 105-pound girl walking around and a specialist in Krav Maga.
Exactly.
Aren't you just waiting for someone to, approach you so you can just, boom? That's awesome.
Just once.
This weak little girl.
That's what Lisa does with her moth belt.
Totally.
Lisa walks down dark alleyways
on purpose.
Thank you for finishing that sentence for me.
Lisa just walks around with cash spilling out of her purse, hoping someone will try to rob her. All right, let's do one more. This is going to be Seth. He's got an interesting past that people are surprised to find out about.
Hey, Seth.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
So my wife and I get to travel around the world because we do music on Game Boys and Commodore 64s and Apple IIs. Without sampling video game music, it's all original.
You make original music on Game Boys?
Right. It's called chip music.
And how do you travel around the world with that?
You make enough money from that?
Well, I still have a day job, but like we get flights to Europe. We just played at the Smithsonian American Museum of Art 2 years ago. Our Commodore 64 is in the Smithsonian.
What? Oh, you mean you get flown around to perform so that people can see you make this music?
Exactly.
What?
The name of our band is 8-Bit Weapon, and so we use all these old 8-bit computers and video game consoles as instruments, even the Atari 2600.
Okay, I would be surprised if I found that out about somebody. Absolutely.
Have you opened for anybody cool? Have you opened for Steve Aoki?
Information Society.
Nice.
Wow, all right.
Nice. You thought you had him, right, Kevin?
I did. I thought I was going to nail him.
My wife, Michelle, she worked with Devo, and we did a remix for Kraftwerk.
What's happening?
That is actually kind of fascinating. All right, Seth, thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it.
I didn't think we would did a remix for Kraftwerk.
Nope, didn't see that coming.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 7:54.
Fred Armisen from Portlandia is joining us next, right after the top of the hour here on K-Rock. Dr. Drew next hour as well. Ralph is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday morning.
Before I get to the Showbiz news, how about if I give you something? We are looking forward to...
You don't even know what it is yet, kids. Yeah.
Could be crabs. Don't be excited, kids. You don't know what I'm going to give you.
We'll find out.
Next Friday, March the 7th, Kevin and I and Dave the King of Mexico and Primuk are looking forward to going to the Morongo Casino Resort and Spa for our second annual K-Rock Good Times Blackjack Tournament.
Yay!
There you go.
It's really a fun event. There's $5,000 in cash. We'll be there for the taking. The tournament is free to join, so there's no buy-in costs. It's limited exclusively to our listeners, and not only do we get a chance to play a lot of blackjack, but then there's a party afterwards at Tacos and Tequila, the restaurant there at Morongo. So we'd love to have you come out and join us. You go to krock.com. Right there on the front page, you can find the site where you can click on to sign up for the Good Times Blackjack Tournament, or you can be lucky caller number, since it's blackjack, lucky caller number 21. Right now at 1-800-520-1067. You will get a seat to play at my table next week.
Call right now and we'll get right back to you.
No, we won't get back to you. You call your caller 21 and you will win a seat to sit at my table, at least for the beginning of the Blackjack Tournament. Then I will knock you out and then I will move on and you will have to go cry in your beer. But at least initially, you'll have a good time as we sit there and play some blackjack. So call now.
Will Glenda be there?
Glenda is going to be there. And she's looking good these days, too. She's dropped some weight.
She's working out.
I think she had a little Botox. She had a little freshen up there in the face region.
And, all right. Okay.
She's looking pretty strong. 1-800-520-1067. Call number 21 will sit with me at our Good Times Blackjack Tournament next Friday, March the 7th. All right. Let's talk showbiz news. Depending on who you believe, Katy Perry and John Mayer now off again.
Oh. Pug a dip.
Again, off again.
Pug a dip.
What?
Off again. On again. Off again. On
Why
again.
Would you want to date John Mayer?
That's not.
Oh, Gilligan. Yeah, they've parted ways, if you believe RadarOnline.com. Apparently, John Mayer likes the ladies.
Really?
I thought he had that in his past, and he was all settled down and grown up and mature now.
The rumor is that Katy was the one who called it quits after a tumultuous year and a half together, but look, they've done this before. They've gotten back together again, and who knows? This report may be spurious, so we're not really sure. But Kevin has dibs. We do want to establish that.
Thank you. I don't know if that's how it works, but just in case.
Imagine you're living in a neighborhood and you paid a lot of money for your home and you're living the high life, and then Kim Kardashian and Kanye West move in next door.
Oh,
nope. That's, well, on one hand, you got Kim. right?
Yeah.
Look,
but on the other hand, you got Kanye.
As you're banging would, her, you don't want her as a neighbor.
Yeah, that's true. As great as it would be to maybe occasionally catch a glimpse of her sunbathing in the backyard next door, it wouldn't be worth it for the paparazzi at the end of your driveway 24 hours a day.
Well, that's how their new neighbors feel. But at least the upside is that the couple has taken their perfectly good mansion that they purchased and is annoying everyone around them with constant construction.
Oh, good.
They're doing all kinds of renovations on the home, so apparently there's construction going on all day long that is providing constant noise pollution to the neighbors.
Here's what I would do if they moved in next to me and I was upset. I would go out to the paparazzi and just start spreading false stories, one a day, just every day.
Would you?
You'd never believe Kanye walks around the house naked.
I love that.
And just see it go all over the place.
Or invite the paparazzi into your home.
Sure.
Take them up to the roof there and say, this is a real good vantage point, boys.
Good.
Just shoot away. Shoot away. Have a good... I would be serving hors d'oeuvres passing around there. It'd be a full bar. I would just make it... I'd make it paparazzi central. I'd make a little cash on the side, charge them an entrance fee, and then just let them go nuts.
I like it.
Did you like that movie, 12 Years a Slave, since we're coming up on Oscar time?
It was an amazing movie.
Excellent, yeah.
It was a bit of a bummer.
You think?
But it was amazing.
Did it change your views on slavery, Kevin?
Not
Are you
not
finally against
no.
it?
Well, you
it
were for it, I think,
I'm,
going in,
you
I
didn't
thought.
Change, still didn't change I've, your views on slavery,
I've
Kevin?
I've always
I
been against.
Shocked.
Thank you.
And after watching that movie, you
How
couldn't see the error
dare
of
you.
Your ways.
How dare you?
Well, the good news is that kids across America will be seeing that film for decades to come. The National School Board Association has teamed up with Fox Searchlight Pictures to make the movie part of public high school curriculum.
Wow.
So, from now on...
Parts of that are pretty rough.
When they teach slavery in public high schools, they will show the kids that movie as part of their education.
Wouldn't you have enjoyed history so much more if you got to watch movies when you went to high school?
Yeah.
I did. We used to watch movies.
Did you?
Yeah.
Like Hollywood movies, though, or made for education, you know, school movies?
No, Hollywood movies.
Oh,
if,
wow.
If there was something pertaining, especially in history, if there was something pertaining to, you know, I remember us watching, it sounds absurd now, but the movie version of the musical 1776 when we were talking about the Revolutionary War. Mm-hmm. Of course, I had some creative teachers. I think they did stuff just to try to make us keep us interested. But it can be a very effective teaching tool.
Hmm.
And I think this movie will make a huge impact on kids. It's a lot more powerful, I think, seeing it come to life than reading it in a book. So it's kind of cool. Montel Williams, apparently, was a big part of the effort to make this happen. And director Steve McQueen is thrilled. And thanks, everyone, for making this dream a reality and sharing Solomon Northrup's story with today's generation. So,
it's a brilliant movie.
It sure is, and powerful and devastating.
And a true story.
All that kind of stuff, yeah. What? Okay. Black people were kept as slaves. Okay, B. Whatever, in your little science fiction world. I don't mean to believe that's a true story. That's inhuman. Who would do
Fire
that to
beer
a,
mug.
Another person. Well, beer mugs still have slaves. That's true. Today's celebrity birthdays. James Worthy, basketball analyst, is 53 years old today. Actor Adam Baldwin turns 52. Grant Cho from Melrose Place back in the day is 52 as well. Donald Logue celebrates his 48th birthday. He's on Vikings tonight. Comes back season two. Chili of TLC is 43. Jared Champion, drummer for Cage the Elephant, is 31 years old. Katie Mara, lovely and talented actress, is 31. Jay Wow of Jersey Shore is 28. And singer Josh Groban. Josh Groban celebrates his 33rd birthday today. Thought we'd celebrate with a little taste of Josh.
Fur pillow.
And it's him singing Kanye West tweets.
Yes, he's singing Kanye West tweets.
Actually sleep on.
Josh Groban sings Kanye West tweets. His antique fish tank.
That was on Jimmy Kimmel Live.
You did a great job. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
So I'm watching the Late Night with Seth Meyers the other night over there on NBC. And you know the musical director, Fred Armisen, on the band leader, the guy who plays guitar, sings with the band?
Yep.
He's also an actor.
What?
That guy also is an actor. Apparently also has a TV show, and it's called Portlandia, and it returns for season 4, and it is going to be tonight on IFC. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome our friend Fred Armisen back to the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Fred, how are you?
This is where they have
to... Okay, how are you?
What? That was a big intro for nothing. What?
They're on the phone in the other room, but until they put it on hold, I can't pick it up.
So the good news is they're having a great conversation and interview with Fred Armisen.
Let's hold the theme.
Ah, we wasted all of that.
Yeah. Now it's not going to work as well because we already kind of ruined it.
Oh, yeah, totally. I mean, the mojo is gone.
You work up another one?
No, I got nothing. That's it. I shot it.
Hey, Dave?
You?
How's that going? Is that working out?
You wondering why
they're
we're
getting him? He was doing some TV or something.
Oh, they're getting him. In contrast to, he's on hold 3 minutes ago.
Yeah, he's on hold now. Why don't you get him? Why don't you talk to him instead of me?
Look at Dave.
Attitude from Dave.
Wow,
right.
We just wanted to talk to our guest. That's all.
No, I'm not giving Fred the big intro. I've already blown the big intro now. I don't have it in me.
Give him an intro.
Fred Armisen is some guy on some show. It's on IFC tonight. Watch it or not, I don't care. It's called Portlandia. Hey, Fred, welcome back to the Kevin Devine Show. How are you, sir?
Hi. Thanks for having me. How's everything going?
Very well, thank you.
It's our pleasure. Good. We are delighted to have you, and congratulations on, gosh, it just seems like everything is going your way right now. You've just had a crazy couple of weeks, haven't you?
Yeah, but it's you know, I enjoy it. I like having busy times. I like a crazy couple of weeks.
This, I mean, you're so used to having that Saturday Night Live job where, you know, Showtime comes around on Saturday. Now Showtime is every day of the week. What's your schedule been like with this new Seth Meyers gig?
Well, it's pretty manageable because that's, you know, like later on in the day and the afternoon, early evening. So for the rest of the time, I could just sort of take care of everything else I have to take care of.
How long does it take you to shoot Portlandia for, you know, the season?
We do that all summer.
All summer.
Part of the spring, too. So we start writing in the spring and then shoot all summer.
Are you surprised, Fred, that you're now talking about the fourth season of Portlandia?
Absolutely. It's always a huge surprise. You know, even having the first season keep going and the second one, I mean, we never take any of it for granted. It's pretty amazing.
It's one of the few shows that's on TV that you can literally say is like nothing else.
Well, I appreciate it. Thanks. That's what we're going for, you know. We try to make it different than the season before, and we just try not to, you know, walk the same path that we did before.
Well, you certainly don't do that. I mean, it's crazy how many different ideas that you come up with that kind of all are in the same universe but are all completely different. And, you know, I saw one of the two new episodes that airs tonight on IFC, the very first episode where, you know, you and Carrie are playing ghosts and all of your facts come from things that you heard on NPR. And I almost feel like that is if I had to describe Portlandia to somebody, it's all about characters who only know what they hear on NPR. And that makes a hilarious contrast with everything they run into in the rest of the world.
Well, thanks. Yeah, that seems to be like, for some reason, NPR seems to be what people trust the most as far as facts go.
Right.
It has a sort of a seriousness to it where you can use it as an argument. Well, I heard it on NPR, so.
and then you win by pulling out that card.
Oh, right. Yeah, no, you can't answer back to that.
You can't, because if you heard something else on AM radio or on TV, it doesn't count compared to hearing it on NPR. That just wins.
Exactly.
We had Carrie in here last season, and I have to be honest, I was a little bit intimidated by her, not by anything that she did, because she was very nice and very sweet, but she's so hip and so smart that I felt like I was going to embarrass myself around her.
That's probably a good thing.
I mean, I was on my best behavior. When did you first meet her, Fred? How far back do you guys go as friends?
Well, I knew the drummer in her band in the late 90s, and then I met Carrie 2003. So we had a lot of mutual friends, and then we met here in New York and just became friends instantly.
Now, was she an actress at all before you guys started doing Portlandia?
Not really. She was, you know, still doing Sleater Kinney, and I was doing SNL, so we both had our projects going.
But you saw something in her that you thought she is going to be a great comedy partner.
Yeah, because she always made me laugh, and aside from also making me laugh, also made me think in a different way. So you know, it was just a matter of me just wanting to, you know, be around somebody like that.
Right. Well, you guys run in circles with so many, you know, fun and super, super talented friends. You know, obviously you've met everybody as a result of SNL. And I know you got some pretty good guest stars coming up on this season of Portlandia as well, right?
Oh, yeah. We've Kirsten Dunst, like you mentioned, from the Ghost sketch. Josh Homme from Queens of the Stone Age. Jason Sudeikis, Maya Rudolph, who are, you know, old friends. And Vanessa Bayer. The Portland Trailblazers, the basketball team we had on there.
I
I can't wait. It's so weird when because when you list the guest stars on most TV shows, they are, you know, people are impressed by the A-list. But for your show, it's a very unique sense of humor.
Yeah, because we think of the sketch and we think we want someone interesting for it.
Right.
You know, someone who can take you out of it a little bit where you're not thinking about who the actor is. You know?
Right. So, I wanted to ask a question, and I don't in any way want this to be insulting. But on SNL, my complaint sometimes is the skits go on too long.
Uh-huh.
But on Portlandia, they're so perfectly timed. It's you get the laugh, you get out, you move on to the next thing, and there's no waiting around because you got to fill time.
Well, that's very kind of you. I think the difference is one has a live audience there, and you have to remember that for SNL, you know, that there's the reaction of the audience.
Right.
Like, that's a system that's been in place and you know, tested to work since 1975, and it's like this very sort of variety show live aspect to it where we've got – Portlandia has the benefit of sort of like it's there's no audience there aside from people watching at home. So we can do quick little edits. We could do subtle things that we could just glide on those.
Yeah, that makes sense. This is the voice of Fred Armisen here on the Kevin Beach, and we're talking about Season 4, The Return of Portlandia, which is going to be tonight on IFC. Fred, you're so busy with two shows on the air. You probably are one of the few people who leaves SNL and barely has time to miss it, right?
Yeah, that would be the case. But, you know, it's all you know, Portlandia is also executive produced by Lorne Michaels, so it's almost like it's all in the same family.
Right, right.
I don't think anyone ever really leaves Saturday Night Live. Everyone, you know, people come back, and it's just
right.
Everyone,
and I'm sure we'll see you, you know, between now and spring too. I mean, I'm sure you'll pop back up on SNL as well.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
I already was on twice or something. You know, it's just people just come back. It's like a home.
It's a family. Let me play a clip for people. This will give you a great idea if you haven't seen Portlandia. This is from one of the two episodes that airs tonight, and this is a very funny sketch. Fred's character is out on a date, and then as he says goodbye to the young lady, heads back home, somebody shows up at the door who's a date fact checker, played by the hilarious Kumail Nanjiani, and he shows up, and he's got some questions about things that Fred talked about on the date. 30 seconds. Listen up.
Right around the appetizers, you guys started talking about the indie hit Juno. She said she hated it.
Yeah, that's right. I remember
and
that.
You said, yeah, that movie is insufferable pap. What I have here is some MySpace bulletins you sent out in 2007. You said you ordered a hamburger phone right away.
I remember at the time when it came out, I enjoyed it.
So which is it?
I love the movie, and then tonight as we were talking, maybe she had a point in the reason that she didn't. How about her? Was she being honest?
She's not. On deposition here.
So there you go. That's an idea of the wonderful world of Portlandia tonight on IFC. Fred, always a pleasure to have you on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks for the time.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 8:27.
Or whatever the hell it is. Dr. Drew Pinsky joins us for his weekly Kevin and Bean visit in about 10 minutes or so. But first, let's go right to the news. There's some very sad stuff going on right now.
America faces a national clown shortage. The New York Daily News reports the kids think clowning isn't cool anymore.
What?
Membership in clown organizations is down. We fired Bozo nearly two decades ago and replaced him with a serious news broadcast. And now banana cream pies are just for dessert, seltzer just for sipping. Ringling Brothers says clowns are still popular. It's clown organizations that aren't cool.
Oh.
First of all, I can't believe that clowning isn't considered cool anymore.
By the way, clowning was never considered cool.
Second of all, the reason this story is making headlines is because membership at the World Clown Organization, which is the country's largest trade group for clowns, is now down to just over 2,000 members. Young people just aren't getting involved in clowning anymore. So we wanted to find out what's going on and what's the future of clowning like in our country. So we asked Dave to line us up, a spokesperson from the Clowns of America International. And I believe we have President Glenn Kohlberger on the phone with us right now. Hi, Mr. President.
Good morning. How are you?
Glenn.
Sad.
Please call me by my clown name.
I'm sorry. What is your clown name?
Sparkles.
Oh, Sparkles.
Yes.
Well, Sparkles, I think you know there's nothing sadder than the tears of a clown, and it sounds like there's been a lot of that going on at the Clowns of America International.
We're running out of clowns.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Turns out people in their teens and 20s don't think being a clown is cool anymore.
Right, but I'd like to... Wow. Aw. I'd like to argue that they never thought it was cool. Don't you think people did it in spite of the fact that...
That hurts my feelings.
Well, I mean, I didn't mean you.
Come on. Sparkles is already down, Kim. I'm sorry. My bad.
I'm crying tears of confetti.
So what are you going to do? What can the organization do to make clowning more appealing to young people?
It's hard because what could be more appealing than being a clown? Putting on hilarious makeup and very, very large shoes.
Uh-huh.
And squeezing into a small automobile with a bunch of other sweaty men in makeup and very large shoes.
Right.
That cell makes it sound sort of crappy.
But you get to wear a red nose.
Right.
Oh, I wish there were more clowns.
Yeah.
So what is it that attracts you to clowning? Why are you still doing it, Mr. President?
I think it's the ladies.
Yeah, they love a clown, do they?
Yeah, there's a lot of clown groupies.
Is that right?
I'm surprised to hear that.
Oh, absolutely. If I had a dime for every backstage genie I had waiting for me after a performance... They all want to get into my giant pants.
You'd have a dime?
Like giant suspenders.
Right.
Little seltzer in their face. They like that once in a while.
Is that what you call it?
How dare you.
you're bumping me out. What the hell was that? What is going on over there, Glenn? What?
Are you still there, Glenn?
What's happening?
That's a sad slide whistle.
That is very sad. I'm sorry to hear that.
Sure is. Well, is there anything before we let you go that we can do to help the clowns in America?
Maybe let me play at your birthday party or something.
Well, I'm sorry. That's just
not going to be possible.
It's busy.
Yeah.
It's already over.
Other entertainment already scheduled.
But you haven't seen me juggle my balls yet.
No, we haven't.
And God willing.
Love Line, 5 nights a week here on K-Rock. Dr. Drew on call on HLN and the fine family of great podcasts available at drdrew.com or podcast1.com. And then last night on the FXX, there was little Dr. Drew along with Mike Catherwood from Love Line on Legit. Dr. Drew, you were great on that show.
That was very fun. It's one of my favorite comedies. And to have Jim ask us to do that was really, really fun. And my wife was on it, too.
Yes, she was. And she was terrific. Both you guys look good. Was it tough? I mean, usually we always hear that for a minute on the TV, it takes like 5 hours to make. What was it like shooting that show?
It was not that bad. We did all that in one 5-6 hours. We did the whole thing. And he's great. He's so funny. People don't appreciate it. He's a great writer. He knows what he's doing.
I agree.
And then on Tuesday this week, when he was promoting it, I spent the whole day with the guy. He did my podcast. He did HLN. Then we did Loveline. And then we had sex. So he's really, Jim, I just hats off to Jim. And I love Legit. Forget the fact that Mike and I were on the first episode. The rest of the season is fantastic.
Agreed.
And hilarious.
Wednesday nights on FXX. It's Legit.
Yeah,
maybe the best show on TV.
Yeah. One thing about Legit that I wanted to ask is, I'm sure you vetted whatever words they put in your mouth to make sure they were medically accurate. So that quiz that you're giving about sex addiction, that was for reals, right?
It was loosely for reals. I mean, it wasn't exactly for real. But, yeah, that kind of stuff. Listen, Jim, like I said, Jim brings things pretty close to reality when he's writing this. And Jim, I think, I've never actually had this conversation with him, but I think he would probably have identified as a sex addict at a certain time
of
his life.
Mm-hmm. I think so. Who takes their iPhone with them when they go into the shower to masturbate, though? Seriously. Does that seem like dramatic license to me?
Shocking, first of all. You're kidding us. I mean, when they write a TV show, they take them under license. But, yeah, it was to make the point. And there's more comedy, more antics ahead. The mom is going to be played. She comes into the show at about episode 5 or 6. The mom is going to be played by the woman who was the farmer's wife in Babe. you remember her?
Yes, that's
and
right.
She's apparently
the big woman.
A very famous Australian actress and just kills it, as he says.
She's fat.
Well,
congratulations.
Which brings us to our topic.
Yes, exactly. Congratulations, you guys. Seriously, you did a great job on Legit last night. And if you missed it, please check it out. It's going to be rerunning on FXX. Hey, let's talk about eating disorders, Dr. Drew. We were a little bit surprised when this story broke last week featuring one of your beautiful triplets, Paulina. She made a little bit of national news. What's going on?
She did. She has an eating disorder, and she's recovering and been doing great. And when we first found out about it a couple of years ago, obviously it's, you know, it breaks your heart and you're upset. But I was actually really proud of her. She identified it as a problem, went and found a good therapist, was in a group, was fully engaged in treatment, and is recovering. And
she just doing that to keep you off her back?
Perhaps. I don't know what the motivation was, but what made me the happiest was when she really started doing well, she wanted to help other people, and she started doing, you know, real significant community service with body image for women and empowering women and doing all these things. And she started writing. She's a really good writer. And she goes to Barnard College at Columbia University. And she was writing for the Columbia newspaper, like, all fall. And all of a sudden, on Sunday, the New York Post puts some of her stuff on page 6 with this all this sensational headlines about me. And then it was, she felt like intruded upon and out of control and powerless. It was really an unpleasant experience. But I was talking to her on Sunday, and she goes, you know, I want to get ahead of this. I want to own this. I want to go use it as an opportunity to educate more about this. And so she went out and went on television.
What was the gist of what she was talking about in the article?
Just what it feels like and what it's like, you know, how it comes about and, you know, what how she told her parents and, you know, why she thinks it's happening and what can be done to help women.
Well, look, this is a very serious issue, Dr. Drew, that we could spend a lot of time on, and I don't want to give it the short shrift. I'd love to spend more time on it one day, but, I mean, for 7 or 8 years she had an eating disorder and neither of her parents knew about it?
Which is stunning. But
weren't those people paying attention?
Right, exactly. But isn't that the point? And that's what
yes,
she keeps
that's
saying.
The point.
That's how these things work. People hide it. It's like saying somebody was, you know, smoking pot for a few years and no one knew about it because they go to great lengths to hide it. And to be fair to us, even somebody's doing something intermittently, it didn't get intense until later.
Right.
It got to be something of a problem later. And yes, she hid it extremely carefully. And when she finally told us, she was very ashamed of it. As this is how this works. This is what this is. And, yeah, of course, we start kicking ourselves and wondering how we missed it. And as we go back and, you know, talk to her dentist and her doctors and her dietitian and her coaches and everybody else who's involved in her life, nobody had any idea.
Isn't that something?
In fact, everyone in her life refuses to believe it for the most part, which is kind of
what
weird.
A clueless group of people you are.
I know, which hurts us because, like, no, you listen. It's time to rally behind her. She was suffering and
right.
She missed it. Let's all accept that and do what we got to do to help her get better. And everyone's like, no way, not her. That didn't happen. She was impossible.
Well, like what? Like she's lying about it?
Or she's over-dramatized or something. Literally, people in her life,
wow.
A lot of people are sort of pushing back. It's impossible. And even her doctors and things like, well, we would have seen evidence. Like, well, the kid, they hide it. They take action
right.
to make sure they do it, don't do it all the time. And,
right.
And it's heartbreaking when it happens. But the news, the point is, it can happen to anybody. We're not
absolutely.
Perfect. Just because I'm an internist doesn't mean I can't get prostate cancer. I got prostate cancer.
Yeah, you're not a very good doctor either.
Just because I work
right?
Just because I work in mental health doesn't mean we don't get... I have an anxiety disorder. We get depression. It all happens to all of us. It can happen to anyone. And the fact is, there's treatment, it works, and we all need to recognize that.
Let me ask you this about Paulina, because you mentioned her coaches. We should mention that she figure skated for a lot of years, so she had that body image to uphold because of the sport that she was playing. How much of it have you spent time talking to her to find out how much of it was peer pressure from other girls, how much of it was images she saw in the media? What else is contributing to that in a lot of ladies?
She feels very strongly it's a lot of that, and that's why she's gotten very involved in sort of trying to push back and empower women and recognize that these images can adversely affect you. And particularly when you're in a sport like that, you know, like that's like gymnastics or ice skating. You know, now we beat ourselves up like, oh, we should never let her do ice skating. But she loved it, and she was great at it.
Right.
And it's so hard in retrospect to go, oh, we shouldn't have done that. The point is, this is our lives together. She's doing great. We're proud of her. And she's finding a real mission in all this.
What's the first step for somebody listening who knows they have an eating disorder and thinks, hey, I'm listening to Dr. Drew talk about it and there's a way out?
There's a way out. The general message is that mental health services work. If you're depressed, if you have anxiety, if you're purging, if you're starving yourself, if you're cutting yourself, if you're doing drugs and alcohol, just go ask somebody for help. That's all. We're used to this.
It's there.
We now have an Affordable Care Act where there should be parity for mental health services. So there at least should be a modicum of services available to you through your insurances. Go do it. There's absolutely the stigma around this stuff. That's what we're also hoping by talking about this, is that we can reduce stigma. The stigma around all this stuff is just staggering. And it's just like any other medical condition.
Great point. Sick is sick. Sunday through Thursday nights at 10 on K-Rock, Dr. Drew and Mike Catherwood with Loveline, Dr. Drew on call on HLN, and then drdrew.com and podcast1.com for all the great podcasts. And definitely catch the Loveline rerun on FXX also with the Legit, because the guys did a great job. Thanks for the time, Doc. We enjoyed it.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, Lisa. It's the world-famous K-Rock at 8:52.
We're going to ask a question which probably has no answer. What's up with Florida? Coming up right after 9 o'clock here on K-Rock. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat on a Thursday. Good morning, Ralph.
Ah, poor Sandra Bullock.
What's wrong?
I just feel bad for her.
Why?
She's charmed. She's America's sweetheart. What's going on with Sandy?
She got all this acclaim for her work in Gravity.
Right.
This performance, Oscar nominated. The movie, a big hit, and it's going to be nominated for Oscars come this Sunday. But she didn't get paid much to do it.
Really?
Yeah, she didn't get much of a salary up front. She took one of those BS back-end deals where you get a percentage of the gross after the film comes out.
Oh, so
you
get paid almost nothing, and then if it makes a dollar.
You know, she didn't get much money up front. And, right. You know, so if it makes some money, then you get a little in the back end, as they say.
If you're lucky.
How much does she get ripped off for, then?
Well, they said today that she's probably only going to earn, after it's all said and done, $70 million for her work in Gravity.
Oh, God. Seriously?
$70 million is what her paycheck will probably end up being.
You know, that's ridiculous. And yet, it was only her for most of that movie. I mean, it was just a single camera on one person.
For that kind of money, they could have built a space shuttle and rescued her. That's all I'm saying.
That's crazy.
Yeah, she'll end up getting 70 mil when it's all said and done. That's her back-end deal.
You could have my
back-end for $70 million. You can just take as much back-end from me as you want.
Wow.
If you give me 70 mil.
Wow.
That's
Robert Downey Jr. Iron Man money.
I think better. I think
probably he got better.
50,
yeah.
I think he got 50, I think, for Iron Man.
Whew, crazy.
I got to get me into that movie business.
You should.
There's money to be made there.
You should try that.
I should.
No one with your mustache ever gets sent into space, though, Ralph.
I beg to differ, sir. What about
but then
that guy who had the mustache. Remember the big astronaut, the big mustache astronaut?
I don't. It's not. The name is
Colonel,
not coming to me.
Colonel
Stash?
I think that was a thing. His mustache is gone, by the way, so he's good to go up into space.
Yeah, I'm clean shaven now. Yeah. I can go into space.
Right.
I drink Tang and everything.
That was the only thing holding him back.
It really was.
Sure.
Wasn't all the training.
Now that obstacle's out of the way.
Stuff. It's just now I can fit the helmet over my head because my mustache is gone. It's go time. Sad news. We lost one of our own. Longtime radio personality and probably best known for being the host of the legendary game show, The Dating Game. Host Jim Lang has passed away.
I've heard of The Dating Game. I haven't heard of that guy, Jim Lang.
Never heard of Jim Lang? He was the host.
Huh.
Let's meet our bachelorettes right now. She comes from Salt Lake City, Utah. In her off time, she likes to make macrame and make ink imprints with her vulva. She is Brandy Alexander. Please welcome Brandy to the stage. Yeah, it was a great game, Dating Game. It was like The Bachelor, only in a half an hour. They'd bring out...
instead of 2 hours?
Yeah, they'd bring out a girl or a guy, and then they'd have three eligible bachelor or bachelorettes for them to choose from. And they would ask them a series of hilarious questions.
Okay.
With a lot of innuendo.
Sure.
Bachelor number one, I'm an ice cream sundae. What would you put on top of me
Oh, my God.
I'm messing my whipped cream.
That sounds terrible.
It was that kind of stuff. And then she would pick one at the end, and they would go on a fabulous date together.
With a chaperone.
With a chaperone, yes, because you don't want them having sex.
Right.
Now, wasn't the thing about that show that part of why it's in television lore, though, is all of the famous people who showed up as contestants, Arnold Schwarzenegger and Farrah Fawcett and people like that, were just on the game playing as regular people, right?
It was legendarily a place where out-of-work actors or wannabe performers would go to try to get some exposure because it was a hugely popular game. So, Bean's right. Farrah went on there. Arnold Schwarzenegger went on there. Sometimes they even bring people on when they were celebrities.
Oh, no kidding.
Bill Bixby was on like four times.
I think Michael Jackson looked for a woman at one point on that show.
Michael Jackson came out. He was one of the best.
Is that true?
He
Michael Jackson came out?
He was a bachelor. He came out on stage to play the game.
My bad.
And he was like, I don't know, 14 or something, 13, 14. Anyway, Jim started his career as a radio broadcaster. Was a... worked for KMPC here in Los Angeles.
I did his traffic.
What the what?
I did his traffic. When
he went back to radio after TV. What?
Yeah, he did. Later in his life, he went back, and I was his traffic reporter.
He got his big break in San Francisco in the Bay Area.
KFRC?
Let's move on.
Married He's a legend. Married for 36 years to the same woman, a former Miss America named Nancy Fleming.
Did he ever hit on you, Lisa, when you were doing his traffic?
No, he was a very nice man.
I bet he
was. Wow, so it must have been a real disappointment to come over to this show.
My sex, not my sex life, but like, why aren't you married, and what's going on with you, and
he could have asked us, we could tell you.
We
could have told Jim Lang what's wrong
with her. Hey, Jim, she's still not married. Guess what?
I'm not going to say unlovable, but I'm just saying.
Right.
Nobody's willing to make that commitment.
She's got some issues. Melissa McCarthy's got her next movie lined up.
I'll watch it.
She was, of course, the star of The Heat with Sandra Bullock, and Bridesmaids made her a big movie star.
Love her.
And Stolen Identity Thief.
Identity Thief,
yeah. She was great in that. It's called Susan Cooper. She will play a female James Bond-type super spy.
Love it.
She's going to be a secret agent in her
Love
next
it.
Film. I'm laughing already. apparently, Jason Statham has been confirmed will play another spy that Susan teams up with. So Statham got a chance to do a little comedy.
All right.
Looking forward to that, because he seems like a very funny guy.
Yeah, that's right. Very funny. I'll kill you with laughter.
And some TV news. Rashida Jones' new show, Tribeca, is on the fast track. Did a pilot for TBS that was written and will be directed by Steve Carell.
She will play a
cop in the LAPD. She is an offbeat cop who solves offbeat crimes. Sounds like a action comedy. Alfred Molina is one of the guest stars. Lisa Kudrow also in talks to appear in the pilot. And her parents will be played by Quincy Jones, the legendary producer, and Peggy Lipton, star of Twin Peaks and The Mod Squad, who are her actual off-screen parents as well.
How about that?
Yeah. I like her a lot, and I think that show has a lot of potential. You know who else I like a lot? Those guys, Key and Peele.
Oh, they're so funny.
Boy,
hilarious.
Great. They've just been added to the cast of the FX Network's new series, Fargo, TV series based on the popular Coen Brothers movie. They will have a recurring roles on that show as FBI agents who are looking for Billy Bob Thornton's character in the film. Martin Freeman stars in the movie. You know him, of course, from the Hobbit movie. Colin Hanks, Bob Odenkirk, Oliver Platt, Adam Goldberg, Kate Walsh, and Keith Carradine also star in the series.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That rolls out Tuesday, April the 15th. So a lot of good TV coming our way.
What the heck are you talking about?
Doing a gosh darn car count right now.
Fargo, North Dakota, hello.
Okay, all right, we get it. It's in Fargo. Today's celebrity birthdays. Do you have a list of your favorite Fargo drops, Bean? Do you have a...
I'm sure he does.
I don't. I will work on that after the show, though.
Today's celebrity birthday is James Worthy, former Laker, of course, Big Game James, now a basketball analyst. He's 53, actor, and lunatic. Adam Baldwin is 52 years old today. You ever follow this guy?
No.
Baldwin was on Chuck, of course, played the big burly secret agent who looked out for Chuck on that series. He was also in Firefly. He's been an actor for a long time.
And he's not a Baldwin brother, right?
He's not one of the Baldwin.
Not really.
No,
okay.
No, he's a separate Baldwin. He was in a movie called My Bodyguard. That was his first big break. He is politically just a little bit to the right of Hitler, I want to say.
Oh, wow.
Good friends with Ted Nugent. They hang out quite a bit.
Okay.
He is a fascinating read. If you ever get a chance to read some of his tweets or statements. Recently compared gay marriage to a father marrying his son. What's the difference there? Why don't people do that then? If we're going to let gay people get married, might as well let fathers marry their sons.
Well, gays are incestual pedophiles. Everybody knows that.
We all know that.
How do you even start to discuss that statement?
Oh, who knows? Our buddy Donald Logue was on the show today. He's 48 years old. Chili of TLC is 43. Josh Groban is 33 years old today. Remember when he was on Jimmy Kimmel and he did singing Kanye West's tweets?
It was the best.
It was so good.
Fur pillow. A hard to actually sleep on. Man, whatever happened to my antique fish tank?
That's a question we've all asked at one point in our lives.
He's got that voice and a great sense of humor.
He does indeed. He was very funny in The Office. 33 years old. Katie Mara, very lovely and talented actress, is 31. And Jay Wow of Jersey Shore is 28 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Sorry, we have to stop yelling about Omar. I mean, about Beer Mug for just a second. It's 9:42. This is the Kevin and Bean Show.
All I asked Santa Claus for was to fire Beer Mug. That's it. And then Christmas, once again last year, came and went, still not firing Beer Mug. What does a man have to do?
I don't know.
Maybe Santa Claus doesn't have any say-so over the Jews.
Interesting.
I hadn't thought about that. Okay.
You know, interesting.
That's Christmas being a Christian holiday, maybe he has no jurisdiction over Jew firing.
Oh, I need to find out who's in charge of the Jewish presence.
It's Hanukkah
there.
Harry.
Hanukkah Harry.
Yeah,
okay.
You gotta ask Hanukkah
Harry. Fantastic.
Okay. I'll make a note of it for next year. Fantastic.
We do have a new moment with Bean if anybody's interested in hearing that.
Well, hell yes. Yeah.
As well.
And now, a moment with Bean.
Definitely catch the Loveline rerun on FXX also with the legit.
That was a moment with Bean.
How many letters? How many letters in that network?
27.
FFFXXXXXF.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the kind of day it's been. Hey, Ralph is here. Time for the showbiz beat. Take us out strong, man.
All right. Well, let me take you out with some gifts.
All right.
It's always easier to get down the showbiz beat when I give you a little something for your trouble. How about some tickets to our very special K-Rock Advance screening of the brand new Wes Anderson film, The Grand Budapest Hotel?
Yay!
This looks terrific, as all of Wes's films do. I just love him as a filmmaker. And what a cast. Edward Norton, Bill Murray, Owen Wilson, Jason Schwartzman, Ralph Fiennes. I mean, it goes on. Adrian Brody, Tilda Swinton, Tom Wilkerson. It just goes on and on and on and on.
All except for Tilda Swinton. That's a pretty good list.
How dare you?
She's a great actress.
She's a genius.
He is a great actor.
Stop it. How great was Tilda Swinton in Moonrise Sunset Shampoo?
Moonrise Kingdom, I think.
Yeah, that's it.
He was good.
Stop it. She is very feminine just because
she's not very feminine. She tries her hardest to not be very feminine.
I beg to differ.
She goes out of her way to not be feminine.
I beg to differ.
She has short hair,
no,
and she sometimes wears suits, but that doesn't make her masculine.
You guys are trying to tell me that Tilda Swinton tries to look feminine.
I think it depends on what the role is.
She is very feminine. She just is. She in no way looks mannish or masculine at all.
Negative, sir.
No!
That is denied.
I'm with Ralph. She's a very beautiful woman.
Come on.
She's
Wait a minute. Beautiful woman.
You
took it even a step further with very beautiful.
She is.
I never said she was very beautiful.
Okay,
I just said she's very feminine.
Okay, she's not feminine
and she's completely feminine.
Completely feminine.
Yes. You don't look at her in for a minute and say, oh, that's a man. She doesn't have a beard or a large, bulky body or masculine features.
No.
At all. Because sometimes she goes for that androgynous 70s Bowie look with her hair slicked back and her wearing a non-structured suit doesn't make her masculine.
No, idiot.
back to you. It's a great movie, great cast.
No, I don't want to hear from you. I don't want to hear from you. The point being, we're having a special advanced screening on March the 6th at the Landmark Theater in Los Angeles.
I don't think Kevin should be allowed to go.
Yeah, he shouldn't.
How dare you?
He'll be busy. He'll be checking out another screening of, Sharknado 3 or whatever he's watching these days.
I have great movie taste. I have great movie taste.
I can't say it. Because it's a lie.
That's true.
Your mouth won't lie for your brain.
His tongue is swelling up going, hell no. So I'm not going to say that.
I cannot say that you like good movies because I know it's not true.
I want a good movie.
See, you couldn't say it there either.
Liar.
Just let it go.
Just let it go.
Let it go indeed.
Call now, 1-800-520-1067. First five callers to get through will get a pair of passes to our advanced screening of the Grand Budapest Hotel. I cannot wait to see this film.
Take care. I love good movies. I can't wait for new Kevin James films.
You'll enjoy Pixel, the new Kevin James, Adam Sandler joint, where they fight.
Yeah, what's up?
They fight video game characters from the 80s. Stop it. Don't say, is that could be good.
The biggest show down on a part of bus.
I wish I was as funny as your impression of me when I'm drunk.
Yeah, boy, so do I.
Do you have anything you want to talk about? Or?
Sandra Bullock, speaking of movies, looks like all that time she spent floating around in space is going to be worth it. Big story yesterday in Hollywood from The Hollywood Reporter says that her deal with Warner Brothers will give her a 15% of the box office take.
All right, what is that?
Film is expected to pull in $750 million. Studio usually gets half of that. That estimates that she will make $70 million for the theatrical run of Gravity alone, possibly more when you add in the home, video, TV, and other sales figures. So it could be a $100 million payday for her for Gravity.
And how long do you think it took her to make that movie, Ralph?
20, 25 minutes.
It's an hour and a half movie.
Well, I was going to say 6 months. Doubled, though. A lot of it was doubled. You can tell they showed a lot of the same footage over and over again in that movie. So I'm guessing.
So she did it in the morning, probably.
Yeah, they put her on one of those G-Force flights like Kate Upton did when she was shooting that photo, and she just
Sports Illustrated.
Whoa, yeah. I'm lost.
I don't think that's all it was.
It did. Make a movie's easy. $70 million. Disgusting. Amanda Bynes. I'm glad she's healthy.
Mm-hmm.
She apparently is doing very well. She's quit smoking pot, according to friends. She's having many of her crazy tattoos removed. She's enrolled herself in a fashion school. She's happy. She's healthy. Seems to be well on the track to recovering from her serious breakdown that was due to schizophrenia and bipolar disorder, we now know. The only problem...
Like a monkey.
She was not like a monkey at all. The only problem with Amanda now is that she is terribly embarrassed about things she's finding out that she did while she was in the grips of mental illness. Friends tell TMZ.com that she cannot believe, she's mortified to learn that she asked Drake to murder her vagina on Twitter.
That was her best tweet,
It was a pretty strong tweet. The idea positively horrifies her, says Friends. Hmm.
So does that mean she's just embarrassed by the frankness of the tweet, or she just is over Drake, like she's not into him anymore? Do we know?
I don't know the ins and outs of it, no pun intended, but I think...
Give us more detail on that story, Ralph.
I think she probably finds Drake attractive, but she probably did not want him to murder her vagina, I'm guessing.
All right. Harass? Got to draw the line somewhere.
Maybe just assault.
Assault.
Just
okay.
She did a new tweet she put out today. Murder, just Drake, just assault my vagina. Assault and battery. And sad news. Former host of the legendary game show The Dating Game, Jim Lang, has passed away. We have a heart attack at his home outside San Francisco in Mill Valley, California. Longtime radio guy. Began his broadcasting career as a teenager and then in San Francisco. Started working in television. Then he got the choice gig of hosting The Dating Game. A wildly successful game show that ran from the 60s all the way up until the 80s. He also worked here in Los Angeles for a period of time at KMPC. And Lisa, we found out, was his traffic girl.
Yes, I was. And my name was Aaron Wyatt.
What?
A different name.
You had a secret radio traffic name?
I did.
Did you do that for all your different gigs? Were you a different person?
I had Lisa Lert.
Lisa Lert?
Was that was on...
Alert?
Was that on Power 106?
That was Power 106.
I remember that.
Yep. I was Judy Starbuck on KA's, the urban station.
You were Judy Starbuck?
Yes.
Stop that being like you know Judy Starbuck.
I heard Judy Starbuck.
What if your name was Asshor?
Yeah, it
was an
names.
Urban station? Lisa go, yeah, this is Judy Starbuck.
Peeping out the traffic.
Could we hear your urban traffic
didn't sound
delivery?
Any different. People just assumed it was,
people assume you're black now
these
on our show.
Yeah, that's true.
Wow. I had no idea I was working with Lisa Lert and Judy Starbuck.
Pretty impressive. I got a cigular pitch and it's in my fast lane. Cause when I'm not reading traffic, I'm selling cocaine. Cause I'm a hustler. And my name is Lisa May. Moving all the yayo is a game I like to play.
Yeah, there's Judy Starbuck.
Yeah.
There's Judy Starbuck right there. Did you make these names up or were they given to you?
No, I think I kind of made them up. Somebody suggested Starbuck.
What was your stripper name?
Starbucks.
Oh, okay.
Lisa's like a phone sex operator. She's got like a different name, a different persona for your different clients.
Brenda, I'll be Brenda.
Oh, let me go get Jonelle on the line. Oh, she's oiling her whip.
Isn't it amazing after all the time we've worked together that we could still find out things like this that we didn't know?
Yeah.
About everybody. Like
Bean makes lists.
The list guy.
Who were you with Jim Lyon? What was her name?
Erin Wyatt.
Erin Wyatt.
Erin Wyatt.
Yeah.
Erin Wyatt sounds pretty hot.
Yeah, she comes from money, Erin Wyatt.
Yeah, sure.
She's pissed off her parents by getting into radio.
Yeah.
Because they took away her pony. She used to ride in tournaments.
Knows my backstory.
Leaping over fences, but now they are keeping her pony from her.
Got to have a backstory so you can stay correct to the character.
Exactly.
Today's celebrity birthdays, James Worthy. Big Game James, he was known when he played for the Lakers. Now he's a basketball analyst at 53 years old. Adam Baldwin, the actor from Firefly and Chuck, is 52. Grant Cho from Melrose Place, 52 years old. Actor Donald Logue is 48 years old. Chili of TLC is 43. Jared Champion of Cage the Elephant, he's the drummer for that band, 31. Katie Mara, very lovely and talented actress, is 31. J-Well from Jersey Shore, 28 years old today. She was always the hottest one on Jersey Shore.
Yeah.
Which is like being, you know,
yeah,
best-looking guy at a Quasimodo audition. But she's doing a lot of plastic surgery stuff now to her face.
How does she look?
Does she look worse?
Yeah, she does look down. It looks weird. That's got that weird look. Especially a girl in her 20s or something starts doing that to herself. You can always tell. And Josh Groban, we've been playing this clip all day. It's just worth repeating it. Here he is from the Jimmy Kimmel Show. Josh is singing out actual tweets from Kanye West.
Fur pillow. A heart to ask.
Why doesn't he tweet like that more these days?
I know. Maybe he found his antique fish tank.
What happened to my antique fish tank?
Josh Groban's 33 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All right. Tomorrow morning, we're already behind. We have a huge show for tomorrow. Of course, it's movie beat because it's Friday. We have, tell me if I'm saying this right, Bean Mads Mikkelsen.
That's correct. Dr. Hannibal himself.
Dr. Hannibal. From NBC's hit show Hannibal. I love him so much. He's a great actor.
Also, Le Chiff from Casino Royale.
Oh, right. There you go. Yeah.
The James Bond villain who cried blood.
Yes. Got that weird eye.
Yeah.
It's freaking me out. The Bob Costas eye. Michael Gill, who plays the president on House of Cards, will be on Friday morning show. We have Jimmy Kimmel on the program talking about his Oscar special. We have somebody from the LA Times talking about Oscar predictions. We have somebody whose last name I've never been able to say, Chloe Sevigny.
Sevigny.
Okay. We have her on tomorrow morning show, and we have Joe Rogan.
Wow.
In the studio.
That's a lot of show.
Take tomorrow off. So tune in about 4 a.m. We'll get started tomorrow morning.